Good evening, gang, and welcome to another edition of Tube Talk.
Oh, I don't know how to play nothing.
Well, I'll show you now.
Oh, you blow through here, the music goes down and around. Whoa, ho, 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 when it comes out here. Now push the first valve down, the music goes down and around. Whoa, ho, 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 when it comes out here. Now push the middle valve down, hear that music go down and around. Below, below, deal it, ho, ho, ho. Music go down and around, whoa, ho, 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 when it comes out here.
Hey, Tommy, what's he got there?
Well, that's a clarinet, Edith.
What's he doing with it?
He's trying to show you how the music goes around and around.
Oh, he can't show me how the music goes around and around on a straight instrument.
Ouch. Kick it, Sid, kick it.
Boy, he can kick it for my money.
Christmas chorus, and we want you all to join in lightly on this last refrain.
Oh, I blow through here, the music goes round and around, whoa, 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 and it comes up here. Now you push the first valve down, the music goes down and around, whoa, 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 and it comes up here. Now push that middle valve down, hear the music go down and around.
Hello, gang, and welcome to Tube Talk here on WRCA 1330 AM and streaming on the WRCA website. Welcome aboard. It's Friday night. That was Tommy Dorsey and his Clam Bake 7. Edith Wright on the vocal. The music goes round and round. Imagine this. It is 1931. Herbert Hoover is president. Chaplin's City Lights premieres in Los Angeles. The Volstead Act, or what many called Prohibition, is still in force. The Empire State Building opens in New York. The Philco Model 90 is introduced in June of 1931, with a cabinet designed by Edward L. Combs and is destined by both its performance and style to become an iconic radio that symbolizes the whole radio era. And the Mills Brothers were on Brunswick Records singing songs like this.
Hold that tiger, 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 hold that tiger. Where's that tiger? Where's that tiger? Here's that tiger. tiger? Where's that tiger? Here's that tiger. Where's that tiger? Here's that tiger.
Da 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 da
brothers very early on in their careers, the Tiger Rag. Let's see what else went down in 1931. Alka-Seltzer was introduced. Vatican Radio went on the air. The Philadelphia Quakers, National Hockey League team, during their only season, 1931, lost 15 games in a row, a record to stand till 1974. I guess there aren't too many tough guys on a team named the Quakers. Or maybe there were. I don't know. Maybe they just weren't very good hockey players. I don't know. You know, and by the way, the Hoover administration here, Herbert Hoover, was still president in 1931. And the Hoover administration was keenly interested in radio and looked extensively into the regulation of radio. And Hoover was a Secretary of Commerce prior to becoming president. And he was the first political leader to articulate the concept that the public interest must dominate in the world of radio. Hoover believed that radio broadcasters receiving licenses to use the public airwaves for commercial purposes should return a measure of public service. Now, I'd like to think we're doing a little service here every Friday night. You know, it is interesting. A fellow here, Mr. Dempsey from Texas A&M University, points out that an interesting note here, Hoover, who is viewed as an arch-conservative and takes a good chunk of the blame here for the Great Depression and our economic collapse, you know, he had this concept of public interest. It doesn't really mesh with his what we perceive his personality to have been. And apparently Hoover had called for a series of conferences on radio in the 20s, you know, looking at how it should be regulated, how we should work with this thing. He knew it could be big, even though he never really used it to great advantage as president. FDR would follow him and would become the master of the airwaves with those fireside chats and all. So what do you think this is, the Herbert Hoover Hour, you may ask? Well, you know, not really, but he is a figure of that era. And there are a lot of people who are interested in antique radio, who are interested in the history, the things that were going on at the time, the entertainers, the musicians, the radio sets. It's all one big package. And, you know, I guess a lot of people weren't really aware that Hoover was born to very devout Quaker parents. Here we go again with the Quaker. And was in his heart a great humanitarian and was deeply pained by the financial collapse that hurt so many of his fellow citizens. He just wasn't quite sure what to do. Didn't really think it was the government's role to get us out of this big mess that we wound up in. Anyway, Hoover did have a big role in the regulation of the infant called radio, so now you know the rest of the story, as our pal Paul Harvey used to say. Let's go back to the Mills Brothers, and we're going to slide up to 1932.
Oh, I heard, yes, I heard, though it wasn't told to me, I only heard. Oh, I heard, yes, I heard, though it wasn't buzzed to me, I only heard. Now he said that she didn't know where she got it, but he said that the law was gonna stop it. Oh, I heard, yes, I heard, though it wasn't told to me, I only heard.
Oh, I heard.
What'd you hear, boy?
Yes, I heard.
You better tell me something.
Though it wasn't told to me, I only heard.
Little keyhole business?
Oh, I heard.
Eardropping?
Yes, I heard. Though it wasn't buzzed to me, I only heard.
Now, what'd you hear now?
Now, he said that she didn't know where she got it.
Uh-huh.
But he said that the law was going to stop it. Oh, I heard.
I understand.
Yes, I heard.
Yeah.
Though it wasn't told to me, I only heard.
Boy, you ain't heard nothing. I overheard the same conversation last night, and it wasn't told to me. I only heard.
What'd you hear, boy?
Well, you don't have to tell nobody, see, because I overheard this, and it wasn't told to me. I only heard.
Well, tell us what you heard.
Now, he said that she didn't know where to buy it. And if it ever got out again, boy, there'd be a terrible riot.
Oh, I heard. Yes, I heard. And it wasn't told to me. I only heard. All we heard. Yes, we heard. Though it wasn't told to us, we only heard. All we heard. Yes, we heard. Though it wasn't buzzed to us, we only heard. Now he said that she didn't know where she got it. But he said that the law was gonna stop it. All we heard. Yes, we heard. Though it wasn't told to us, we only heard. What did I want? What did I want? What did I want? Wah, 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 wah.
Is that what you heard, boy?
What did I want? What did I want? What did I want? What did I want? Wah, 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 wah. What did I want? What did I want? What did I want? Wah, 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 wah.
Very uniquely sung by the Mills Brothers. What a great style. Improvisational, jazzy, and I wonder what they did over here. Maybe where to buy some of that bootleg hooch. Thanks for finding us here on your radio dial. You have found the good music, the good entertainment, the happy program, the nice little niche on your radio. It's comfy, cozy, and fun here on Tube Talk. We're glad you signed up for another night. And we'll depart here a little bit from the Mills Brothers. Here's something a little different.
Hoppity, hippity, hippity, hoppity, hoppity, hippity, hop, mop, mop.
Have you ever passed the corner,
ow,
fourth and grand, where a little ball of rhythm's got a shoeshine stand? The neighbors gather round and then they clap their hand. He's a great big bundle of joy.
Whoa,
he pops a boogie-woogie rag, the Chattanooga shoeshine boy. He charges you a nickel to shine one shoe. He makes the oldest kind of leather look like new. You feel as though you want to dance when he gets through. He's a great big bundle of joy.
Boy, boy.
He pops a boogie-woogie rag, the Chattanooga shoeshine boy.
That cat is a hoy polloi.
It's a wonder that the rag don't tear. Man, the way this cat makes it pop.
Pop!
Ma! You ought to see him fan the air with his hoppity, hippity, hippity, hoppity, hoppity, hippity,
hoppity, hippity.
He opens up for business when the clock strikes nine. He likes to catch them early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine with that great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie-woogie rag, the Chattanooga shoeshine boy.
It's a wonder that the rag don't tear the way he makes it pop. Gotta see him fan the air
with his hoppity hippity
hippity hoppity
hoppity hippity hoppity hoppity. He opens up for business when the clock strikes nine. He likes to grab 'em early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine with that great big bundle of joy.
Ooh.
He pops a boogie-woogie rag.
Man, his feet doesn't brag.
Chattanooga shoeshine.
Chattanooga shoeshine.
He's my bundle of joy.
Hip, 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 hip.
Man, you know one thing. If you don't get your foot out of the way in time, this cat'll bear down right through the leather and manicure your toes. As great.
Thank you.
That was Count Basie and his orchestra, the Jazzy Blues. And before that, we had a little Frank Sinatra shining his shoes. And is it me, or does anybody see how kind of that whole Mills Brothers sound gets picked up and run with? And I hear a lot of that Mills Brothers kind of sort of style in Mr. Sinatra's version there, that nifty little song. On to our feature presentation this evening. It's old-time radio here on Tube Talk, and we're going to join Dana Andrews as Matt Savetic, fighting communism the good old-fashioned way with radios. Imagine that. This is a program that aired in 1952. Sit back and relax and enjoy. I was a communist for the FBI.
I was a communist for the FBI. Starring Dana Andrews in an exciting tale of danger and espionage, I was a communist for the FBI. Many of the incidents in the story you are about to hear are based on the actual records and authentic experiences of Matt Savetic, who for 9 fantastic years lived as a communist for the FBI. Here is our star, Dana Andrews, as Matt Savetic.
I was in it for 9 long years, a member of the party. I lived with communists, worked with them, watched them. I learned their methods, their tricks, their plans, and their weaknesses. This is my story, the story of my life as a communist for the FBI.
In a moment, listen to Dana Andrews as Matt Savetic, undercover man. Now, here is Dana Andrews as Matt Savetic, FBI, undercover man. This story from the confidential file is marked Tight Wire.
There's no 8-hour day for an undercover man, no 40-hour week. The working day is 24 hours. The week is 7 days long. It's not a job, it's a way of life, a tough way, and a dangerous one. You've got to be ready for anything, anytime. Play it tight, and you play it smart, or you're out of the game. And there's only one way out, the hard way. Whenever possible, you plan your schedule to contact the FBI. But they don't have a schedule, of course, so you never know when or how.
Taxi, mister?
No, thanks. I'm not going far.
Taxi's better than walking, though, Mr. Fisher.
Oh? Did you say Fisher?
Yeah. I was sure I recognized you, Mr. Fisher. Some buddies of mine are friends of yours. How about a ride?
Okay. I guess a taxi will save time.
Sure. Time and shoe leather. My name's Davis. Transferred last week from the FBI office in Chicago.
I see. Who are some of your buddies, Mr. Davis?
Richards, Spaulding, Blake. Barkley's the district inspector here, and...
Okay, that's good enough. I was just checking.
Smart idea. You never know.
What's up, Davis?
Got a job for you, Matt. Maybe a rough one.
What kind of a job?
What's that meeting you told us about? The one for that big shot from the West Coast?
Yeah, Lazzo Corini.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the national coordinators. The meeting's Thursday evening. There'll be cell chairmen here from 10 states.
So there'll be names named, people, places, plans, so on. Matt... We've got to have all that verbatim.
Verbatim?
Yeah, by dictograph.
Dictograph? What about that new radio gimmick? That miniature transmitter?
You can't always be sure of it, Matt. We might hit a static problem, miss half the meeting. Now, here's what we want. Between now and Thursday evening, plant a microphone and wire the meeting hall.
That's all?
Yeah, I know. We're not giving you much time, but the job's got to be done, Matt. Go to it.
there it was. Wire the hall. It sounded simple, but I knew it was going to be one of the toughest jobs I'd ever done for the FBI. The party offices were on the same floor as the hall, and they'd be in use all week. Davis gave me 2-button microphones, 500 feet of bell wire, and his best wishes. It was all up to me. At 7 o'clock that evening, the cell leaders met to discuss the plans for the big meeting. I was present at the table. I had a plan of my own.
All right, comrades. Now, we're pretty well lined up on how to handle the delegates from out of town. I don't think there'll be more than 85. You agree, Comrade Mapes?
Carl Jones was cell chairman at the time.
Definitely, Comrade Jones. 85 is more than safe.
Greta Mapes, the local secretary, a transfer from Kansas City.
Then we'll plan accordingly. Now, is there anything else we have to work out?
Yes, there is, as a matter of fact. Let's talk about security measures. This meeting is big. Agents' names will be mentioned. Our future plans will be discussed. The FBI would love to get in on it.
True enough. But unless there's been some new development, I don't see why.
There has been a new development. Take a look.
What is it?
A piece of wire. Where did you get it, Comrade Svetik?
In the corridor, a few feet from the door of the hall.
Well, my goodness.
It was caught between the edge of the rug and the baseboard. I saw it by sheer accident.
It's mic wire, all right. I'll bet on it.
And I'd say there's only one answer. The FBI has got in somehow.
Yeah, that was my idea.
Comrade Svetik, I'd like you to follow this up.
All right, comrade.
Go over the hall with a fine-tooth comb. Your job is to find that microphone. Go to it.
I'd played an outside chance, tried an approach right in the open, and it had worked. My orders from the FBI were to wire the hall, and my job for the commies was to find the FBI's wire, the same wire I was going to install myself. With a little luck, I might combine the two jobs. But luck was just what I didn't have.
Morning, Comrade Svetik.
Oh, Comrade Etheridge, what are you doing here?
Well, you don't act very glad to see me, Matt.
No, it's not that, Ben. I'm surprised, that's all. Comrade Jones said I'd have the hall to myself today to look for that FBI wiring job.
Yeah, I know. I've been assigned to help you. You know, Matt, there's only one way the FBI could have wired this place.
How's that?
By having an agent planted in the cell.
Yeah. I thought of the same thing, Ben. I've been keeping my eyes open.
Any results?
No, not yet at least. Well, let's get to work.
Any time.
We'll start at one corner of the hall and go over it in a square yard at a time. Mm-hmm. Floor, walls, ceiling, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ben, let's go to work. Well, my bright idea was knocked right in the head. I'd planned to make the installation during my supposed search. But now, with Comrade Ben Etheridge breathing down my neck, I didn't have a chance. All I could do was go through the motions and try to figure some other angle. It was 4 in the afternoon when we finished our shakedown of the hall.
Well, I guess that's everything, Matt.
There ought to be another screwdriver.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. Well, what do you think?
You tell me. We covered every square foot and didn't find anything. I'd say the hall's clean.
What about that piece of mic wire, Matt?
I don't know. It got into the hall some way. But the FBI hasn't planted any microphone in here. I'll swear to it.
Well, I'll take your word for it, Matt.
My word for it? Look, Ben, were you assigned to help me or watch me?
Well, Chairman thought you kind of jumped at the job. A little of both, I guess.
So now, added to everything else, the chairman was suspicious. I'd wasted a day, and there was less than 2 more days to go. Dozens of names would be mentioned at the meeting, plans discussed, information the FBI needed badly. That hall had to be wired somewhere.
Richard speaking.
Fisher here, Bob Fisher.
Check. Go ahead.
Listen, that wire job's not going so good.
It's got to go. Washington really wants this one.
Yeah, I know. Look, I've got wax impressions of a couple of door keys. Took them right under my helper's nose this afternoon. How long will it take to get duplicates made?
30 minutes. What are they for?
The meeting hall and the alley door of the building. I'm going to slip in late tonight and string that wire. Look, I'm calling from the phone booth in the Gavin Hotel lobby. I leave the key impressions behind the coin box.
Check. We'll pick them up in 10 minutes. Where do you want the keys delivered?
Leave them behind the cushions in the next to last booth in the hotel coffee shop. Anytime before 9.
Right. Watch yourself, boy.
You know it.
Good luck.
The keys were there when I went in at 9 o'clock that evening. I slipped them into my pocket, ordered and ate slowly, while I read a couple of papers. Timing was the one important thing. I knew that between 10:45 and 10:48, the watchman would be punching the clock on the 7th floor at the far end of the hall. And during those 3 minutes, I had to get in that alley door. The time was 10:47 when I slipped my key into the lock of the alley door. I closed the door behind me, hurried along the corridor, and began climbing the service stairs. I was almost to the 3rd floor when the switch was thrown up above me, and I heard the elevator coming down the shaft. I froze on the dark stairway and waited. Good. The night watchman was back on the 1st floor again, and the coast was clear. I climbed the few remaining steps, hurried along the 3rd floor corridor, and fitted my 2nd key in the lock of the meeting hall. Inside, I took the microphone buttons and the wire from my coat pocket, went to work. In 20 minutes, the job was done, inside the hall, that is. But the final connection in the shaft meant a few ticklish minutes swinging on an iron ladder over empty space. I used my knife blade to spring the catch on the shaft door. I slid it open, stepped in on the ladder, and closed the door. I could see the top of the elevator 3 stories below me, and the height made me sick and dizzy. I worked quickly and had just finished the connection when the elevator started up. There was no space in the shaft for me and the elevator, no time to get out the door. I did the only thing I could. As the elevator reached me, I stepped onto the top and clung to the cable. We kept going up. 6th floor. 7th. I could see the spinning drums winding the cable above me, coming closer and closer. 8th floor. One more to go. The drums were right over my head. I threw myself flat on the top of the elevator and prayed. When we stopped, I had barely 18 inches clearance. When the watchman closed the doors and started back down the shaft, I clung to the iron ladder and stayed there until he reached the main floor. Then I fumbled at the catch on the shaft door, slid it open, and stepped out onto the 9th floor.
Okay, Matt. Don't move.
Ben, what are you doing here?
Waiting for an FBI stool pigeon. For you, Matt.
I don't know what you're
talking
about.
Get your hands up. This gun is loaded, Matt. One move, and so help me, I'll kill you.
Let's see if our hero Matt Savetic can get out of this one. You're listening to Tube Talk on WRCA Radio, 1330 AM.
Back to Dana Andrews, starring as Matt Savetic in I Was a Communist for the FBI, and the second act of our story.
I stood there in the dim corridor in front of the elevator, staring at the gun in Ben's hand. One move and he'd kill me, he'd said, and I knew he would. Ben impressed people as being good-natured and easygoing, but underneath, he was a fanatic. I knew that, and I knew he meant what he'd said.
Matt, what are you doing here this time of night?
I'm just looking around, Ben. Checking up on things.
What things? What were you doing in the elevator shaft?
Look, comrade, maybe I've got a couple of questions of my own. What's your reason for being here?
A hunch, Matt. I got to thinking. So I came over, had the night watchman let me in.
I don't follow you. Got to thinking. What?
How it'd be a smart idea for an FBI agent planted in the party to search the hall with a witness and then come back and put in a microphone after the search.
I'm afraid that's pretty weak, Ben.
Weak?
Yeah. I think we'd better talk to the chairman.
I'm way ahead of you, Matt. We're going downstairs to the party office. I'm going to phone him and have him come right over.
Okay.
And don't forget, Matt, the gun's still loaded. Let's go.
Comrade Etheridge snapped on the lights in the party office and called Chairman Jones and told him what had happened. Then we sat and waited for Jones to arrive. I kept trying to think of some way out. One fortunate thing, I'd hidden the keys, the extra wire, and my tools on top of a girder in the elevator shaft. I was clean, and that was some advantage, but not much.
Well, he made a quick trip.
Sounded as though the situation called for it. Well, Comrade Svedek, it seems we've been mistaken about you.
That depends on what you mean by
Shut up! Get up, Svedek. How long have you been working for the FBI?
I haven't been, comrade. That's your mistake.
Mistake? When Comrade Etheridge caught you right in the act tonight?
There are a couple of ways of looking at that. Look, Comrade Jones, you're the one in charge here, aren't you?
Of course.
Then why is Ben holding the gun?
Well, I wasn't trying to take over any authority. Here you are.
Thanks. Feel better now, Svedek?
Yes, it was making me nervous having a gun pointed at me by an FBI agent.
Oh, no, wait a
minute. Ben, you claimed you came here tonight because you suspected me of planting a microphone in the hall. All right, where's the mic?
Well, I didn't have any chance to look for it, you know that.
But the mic was there this afternoon, Ben. Why didn't you find it then?
Huh?
What are you driving at, Svedek?
One of the sections of the hall Ben searched included the electric outlets next to the radiators. Did you take the cover plates off those outlets, Ben?
Well, no, they hadn't been tampered with in it.
One of them had. It's got a button mic planted in it.
What are you
The wire runs behind the baseboard. I saw it this afternoon. How come you didn't?
Well, there wasn't any wire. There couldn't have been.
I don't see how you could have missed it. That's why I didn't say anything this afternoon, and that's why I came back tonight.
Wait a minute, Svedek. Maybe you wired the place tonight before Ben caught you.
How? As you said, Ben caught me. Search me now. I don't have any wire or tools. The hall is locked. I don't have a key to it.
That's another thing, Svedek. How did you get into the building?
Ask the watchman. Watchman, that's a joke.
What do you mean?
The front door of the building was unlocked tonight, and the watchman was asleep in the lobby. I walked right in past him, and he didn't even move. Security. A microphone planted in the hall, and my so-called helper didn't even see it.
Now, take it easy, comrade.
All right, so I'm mad, and I've got a right to be. The party's the biggest thing in my life. I'm giving my life to it. And when things happen like they have today, a helper who's either too stupid or too crooked to see a microphone when he stumbles over it,
Matt,
and a so-called watchman who goes off to sleep and leaves the door of the building wide open, of course I'm mad. Well, it worked. Temporarily, at least, I was off the hook as far as my party membership was concerned. But the last chance of getting that hall wired had gone right out the window. Davis, the FBI agent, agreed when I told him the story the next morning.
You went at it the right way, Matt. There's no question about that. You just had a run of bad luck, that's all.
Look, Davis, I've been thinking about this most of the night. I've got a halfway idea. It may sound crazy, but...
Let's have it. I haven't even got a halfway one.
Well, Richards was telling me a couple of months ago about that new miniature shortwave transmitter.
Yeah, but we only use that as a last resort, Matt.
This is a last resort. How big are they?
Oh, about the size of a couple of packs of cigarettes. What do you got in mind?
It has a built-in mic, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, it's a complete unit. You just switch it on, and it's good for about 20 hours of continuous transmitting. Life of the batteries.
Davis, suppose one of those transmitters were planted in the hall. Could you pick it up?
Sure. They've got a radius of about 6 blocks. We could park a truck on the street as a mobile receiving unit. But can you do it, Matt?
With a little luck, I think I can. I arrived at the hall at 5 p.m, and I noticed that several baskets of flowers sent by the front organizations had already been delivered and placed on the speaker's table. The basket from my own group, the Pan-Slav Congress, wasn't there yet. Good. So far, the plan was working.
Now, Matt.
Huh? Oh, hello, Ben.
I shouldn't have jumped at conclusions last night, Matt. When I found you here in the building, well, I thought sure.
Oh, forget it. I was pretty rough on you, as far as that's concerned.
No, I just followed up. I don't know how I could have missed that mic.
It's a matter of training. I remembered later that you said you'd never had...
Matt!
Yeah, Carl?
There's some guy here from the garden florist. Says he's got a flower order for you.
Oh, yeah. It's the bouquet for the speaker's table from the Pan-Slav Congress. I'll take care of it. Thanks.
You the fellow that ordered the flowers?
That's right. Thanks.
Just sign here, please.
All right.
The transmitter's in the basket. It's already turned on.
Fine.
Good luck.
Thanks, Richards. There you are.
Thank you, sir. Goodbye.
Well, now, he went pretty elaborate on it, didn't you, Matt?
4 dozen roses. Comrade Carini is an important man, Greta. Only the best.
They smell wonderful. Those must have been specially selected.
That's right. They were. Well, the transmitter was in the meeting hall and right on the speaker's table. It was already turned on, Richard said. And parked down the block somewhere was a panel delivery truck with a tape recorder and a pair of stenographers with headphones, taking down every word. My job was over. There was nothing to do but wait.
Now, Matt, is that microphone you found still hooked up?
Yeah, Comrade Jones decided we wouldn't disconnect it until just before the meeting. That way, the FBI wouldn't try to plant another one.
Good idea. Catch them flat-footed. Wonder how they got in to install it.
Well, with that watchman not paying attention to his... Oh, this must be Comrade Carini.
I guess so. Carl's bringing him over.
Comrade Carini? Comrade Svetik.
Comrade?
Comrade?
And Comrade Etheridge.
What is this?
Why, they're flowers sent by the various organizations in honor of...
I am sorry.
What?
The honor I appreciate. But the flowers must go. I have the allergy, you understand. The hay fever. I am unable to...
I'm sorry, comrade. I had no idea. Well, we'll have them placed outside in the corridor.
Yeah.
Matt, would you...
Oh, yeah, sure. Ben, will you grab a couple of these baskets? I'll take these at the end.
I wish to cause no offense,
oh, that's all right, comrade. It's quite all right.
Quite all right. As far as I'm concerned, it was quite all wrong. In a few minutes, the meeting would start and the FBI wouldn't be in on it. Ben and I carried the flowers out and set them along the corridor. And suddenly I decided to take one last chance. Ben's back was turned. Quickly, I reached into the flower basket, fished out the transmitter, and dropped it into my inside coat pocket.
Comrades! Comrades! Before I open this meeting, I wish to inform you that the FBI has managed to establish a beachhead in our very midst. Comrade Svetik?
Yes, comrade?
You take care of the matter?
Of course. There you are.
You see, comrades? A microphone.
Right here.
The FBI will be most disappointed. And now I wish to present our national coordinator from West Coast headquarters, Comrade Lezzo Corini.
I sat through the meeting while name after name was mentioned, plan after plan discussed. The transmitter sagged my coat pocket, pressed against my chest. I was conscious of it every second, and conscious, too, of what would happen if the commies knew I had it. The only thing I didn't know, was it working all right? Was the stuff going through? Was the FBI getting it? I found out around midnight when I put through a call from a public phone booth.
Richard speaking.
Fisher here, Bob Fisher.
Check. Nice work.
Everything come through all right?
Perfect. We got every word from start to finish.
Good.
One thing we couldn't figure, though. Who was beating that drum?
Drum?
Yeah. It kept up all through the meeting. Sounded like a funeral march.
Well, there wasn't any drum that I... Hey, wait a second. I had the transmitter in the inside pocket of my coat, Richards. That drum beating was my heart. I left the phone booth and walked along the street. It was after midnight, and the city had gone to bed. And I could hear my footsteps echoing against the dark fronts of the buildings. An hour before, I sat in a hall with 100 people, supposedly my friends, my comrades. And now I'm alone. But I was alone then, too. Because they aren't my comrades. And I have no friends. That's how it is with me. I'm a communist for the FBI. I walk alone.
Dana Andrews will return in just a moment.
Well, I'll tell you, that was a cliffhanger, but he got the job done. Just can't outsmart Dana Andrews. I really like the way that voice and the different sound effects came across. Whispering voices, talking to the audience. But then the sound effects, the elevators. I loved it. It was a good show. I enjoyed that. I hope you did too.
This is Dana Andrews with a word about the story you just heard. In this story, as in all those we bring you, names, dates, places, and events have been changed to protect innocent persons. But nonetheless, many of these stories are based on actual fact, on true incidents, as experienced and reported by Matt Savetic during his 9 fantastic years as an undercover man for the FBI. Next week, another exciting adventure from Matt Savetic's official records. Join us, won't you?
Back to our musical spotlight here this evening on the Mills Brothers. A little more information for you to put in your ear. Broadcasting executive William S. Paley. This is a big name in radio. Entertainment. At CBS Radio in New York, turned on his office speaker one day in September of 1930 at the urging of Ralph Wonders to listen to an audition of 4 young men that had been performing under different names in Cincinnati on WLW. Now, there's an iconic station for you. They were billed as the Steamboat Four when they sang for Sohio. They were the Tasty Yeast Jesters when they sang for Tasty Yeast. They had been called the Four Boys and a Guitar, but on Sundays, and for this audition, they went by the moniker the Mills Brothers. When Paley heard the performance, he immediately went downstairs and put them on CBS Radio. The next day, the Mills Brothers signed a 3-year contract and became the first African Americans to have a network show on radio. Yeah, there's some news for you. After signing the 3-year contract with William S. Paley, they became a national sensation. Their first recorded record for Brunswick, a remake of their Tiger Rag, became a nationwide seller, the only record at that time to sell more than a million copies. Other hits quickly followed: Goodbye Blues, You're Nobody's Sweetheart Now, Old Rockin' Chair, Lazy River, How Am I Doing, and a host of others. The Mills Brothers were sponsored by the largest advertisers in early radio: Standard Oil, Procter & Gamble, Crisco, the Crossley Radio Company. They began appearing in films. Their first, The Big Broadcast, was an all-star radio review that included Bing Crosby, Cab Calloway, and the Boswell Sisters. And if you haven't seen that one and you enjoy radio, I would strongly suggest you comb around, try to dig that one up on the old movie channels. In 1934, the brothers starred with Crosby for Woodbury Soap and recorded their classics Lazy Bones, Sweet Sue, Lulu's Back in Town, and Bye Bye Blackbird, Sleepyhead, and Shoeshine Boy. Film appearances included 20 Million Sweethearts for Warner Brothers in 1934 and Broadway Gondolier, also for Warner, in 1935. They were highly successful and very well-liked. They were recognized nationally and then internationally. In 1934, the Mills Brothers became the first African-Americans to give a command performance before British royalty. They performed at the Regal Theater for a special audience, King George V, Queen Mary, and the very special woman sitting in a box seat, their mother.
Hot ginger and dynamite, that's all there is at night. Back in Nagasaki with the fellas chew tobacco and the women wicky baggy. They got a way that to entertain would hurry a hurricane. Back in Nagasaki with the fellas chew tobacco and the women wicky baggy. A Fujiyama, you get a mama, then your troubles increase, boy. In South Dakota, you want a soda, Hershey milkshake, 10 cents a piece. They hug you and kiss each night, my jingle boy is worth that price. Back in Nagasaki where the fellas do the banging and the women wink your bag. Oh mama, pop that beetle beetle, that beetle.
She said, I'm the hottest chicken in the scoop. Oh, naggy, oh, saggy, oh, wiggy, baggy, boo. Oh, bada bada bum dee boo bum dee boo bum dee boo bum dee boo bum dee bada da da dee. Oh, naggy, oh, saggy, oh, wiggy, baggy, boo. Put your armor, you get your mama, then your troubles increase, boy. It's skibaddle, 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 thank you, thank you. They hug you and kiss each night, my jingle boy is worth that price. Oh, naggy, oh, saggy, oh, wiggy, baggy, boo.
That's the Mills Brothers singing Nagasaki. And that was recorded well before Nagasaki has all the connotations that it has today in the post-World War II world. Don't settle for the thin, bland gruel of so-called music that the media elite wish to give you today. Sit down at the Tube Talk table for the steak and baked potato sound, gourmet music for the connoisseur, singers who can climb the scale, and musicians who skillfully play their instruments. Yes, it's all here for you each and every Friday night. Tell your friends and neighbors, we'd love to have you on board. We talk radio. We play great music. We have radio programs. This is the place for the vintage radio community and the person who still enjoys a pleasurable AM radio experience. We're going to move along here. This is some more Mills Brothers. This is from the Bing Crosby Show, featuring Bing and the Mills Brothers. We've got a little bit of a medley here. And here we go.
It's always a kick to greet our next brace of guests, Lefrere Mills, Mills Brothers. We've worked together a lot, the boys and I, and tonight I think we have dead aim on some goodies. Ladies and gentlemen, here are the Mills Brothers. Do you mind if I elbow in for one?
Why don't you elbow in for two?
Two?
Yes, yes.
Like what?
Lazy River and Paper Doll.
Well, the medley might be clever.
Up a lazy river by the old mill run. The lazy, lazy river in the noonday sun. Linger in the shade of a kind old tree. Throw away your troubles, dream a dream of me. Up a lazy river where the robin's song awaits the bright new morning, where we can loaf along. Blue skies up above, everyone's in love. Up a lazy river, how happy you could be. Up a lazy river with me. Oh, up a lazy river by the old mill run. The lazy, lazy river in the noonday sun. Linger in the shade of a kind old tree. Throw away your troubles, dream a dream with me. Up a lazy river where the robin song awaits a bright new morning, where we can love along. Blue skies up above, everyone's in love. Up a lazy river, how happy you could be. Up a lazy river with me. Up a lazy river with me.
And I'm gonna buy a paper doll that I can call my own. A doll that other fellas cannot steal.
I do not blame you.
And then those flirty, flirty guys with their flirty, flirty eyes will have to flirt with dollies that are real. Now when I come home at night, she will be waiting.
Oh, will she?
She'll be the truest doll in all the world.
Absolutely.
I'd rather have a paper doll that I can call my own than have a fickle-minded real-life girl.
I'm going to buy a paper doll that I can call my own. A doll that other fellows cannot steal.
You hope you don't know so.
And the flirty, flirty guys with their flirty, flirty eyes will have to flirt with dollies that are real. When I come home at night, she will be waiting.
Don't bet, Jack, cause
she'll
blow your stack.
She'll be the truest doll in all this world.
I'd rather have a paper doll that I can call my own
than have a fickle-minded real-life girl.
Bing and the Mills Brothers there, a very cosmopolitan of Derbingle there with Lefrere Mills, as he thinks he's in France or something. I doubt it. Well, thanks for tuning in tonight, gang, as we get ready to head off into the sunset tonight. Just like to say we appreciate it all. You can reach the show at tubetalk1@gmail.com. You can visit our site at tubetalkclassicradioshow.org. Hope it gives you a little idea of why we do this. And, you know, we're just going to keep it up here with the male vocalists. We'll have to catch up with the ladies sometime soon, or we'll get heck for it, let me tell you.
You can dance every dance with the guy who gives you the eye, let him hold you tight. You can smile every smile for the man who held your hand beneath the pale moonlight. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me. Oh, I know.
Oh, I know
that the music's
yes,
fine like sparkling
oh,
wine. Go and have your
yes,
fun.
Oh, I know.
Laugh and sing.
Yes, I know.
But while we're apart,
oh,
don't give your
yes,
heart to anyone.
Oh, I know.
But
yes, I know.
Don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So, darling, say the last dance. don't you know I love you so? Can't you feel it when we touch? I will never, never let you go. I love you oh so much. You can dance,
you can dance.
Go and carry on till the night is gone and it's time to go.
You can dance.
If he asks,
you can dance.
If you're all alone, can he take you home? You must tell him no. Cause don't forget he's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me. Say the